The Roman city of Pompeii was devastated following the eruption of Mount Vesuvius back in 79 AD, resulting in the deaths of approximately 2,000 people. A new study, however, suggests that some of the victims suffered a much more gruesome death than others. Essentially, they baked. The study, published in the scientific journal Antiquity, looked at victims found on a beach near Herculaneum and deduced that they died a rather tragic death, effectively baking from the heat and suffocating on the toxic fumes for a period of time. And for those not too faint of heart, you can read the rest of that story in the In the News section up at coasttocoastam.com. All right, when we come back, more of our amazing conversation with Lee Wanta, the $31.2 trillion man, the man who single-handedly brought down the Soviet Empire without firing a single shot. Back with more of that on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Lon Gibby is with Gibby Media Group, and he is the spokesperson for Lee Wanta, President Reagan's secret agent. The book is Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat, and the hopefully soon-to-be-released documentary is Eagle One to Wanta. When we, just before the break, we were describing your illegal, essentially it was a kidnapping, wasn't it, Lee? You were thrown into a kind of a dungeon in Switzerland.
Well, it sure was a dungeon, because when I was at the Hotel de la Paix with the also Ambassador Giovanni Ferro, who came with us from Toronto, because he was going to Belgium on behalf of the Somali Democratic Republic, we also purchased an embassy building, because I'm now the ambassador to Switzerland from Somalia, and we were going to build an airport.
Okay, now tell me about the prison in Switzerland, if you could.
I'll tell you about what, sir?
The prison in Switzerland.
Well, let me say how we got there. I was going to go to Lausanne Hotel in Switzerland with Ambassador Giovanni Ferro. We were having breakfast, and all of a sudden, we were picked up by the Swiss authorities because we had too much money, and they wanted to know where I was going. So what they did, they took me downstairs. Giovanni paid a hotel bill because I got a free ride to prison. I get to prison because they want to know why I had all this money, and it's none of their damn business why I had this money, because I was using Credit Suisse to do a lot of transactions in Switzerland. So apparently they figured it's a good way to seize all that money.
And how long were you held?
Bank in Switzerland.
How long were you held in this dungeon?
Well, I don't know, so long, months and months, because as soon as I got here, they deloused me something with white powder all over my body, and they sprayed me down with that crap. And I don't even know why even there. I don't have any lawyers. I don't have anybody to help me. But I just bought that embassy building for Somalia in the same area.
And there was an attempt on your life while you were in the prison, correct?
Well, yeah, I was in a dungeon. But the thing is, they have the guards come around with a guy and gives you a tray of food. And a tray of food has some beautiful wrapped cheese, little cups and stuff like that. I'm lactose intolerant, so I asked the guard if I could give it to the trustee who's delivering the food. He said, sure, because they never opened it up and didn't unwrap it. So he took the tray and the cheese, and during that night, the people were saying that people were screaming that I'm dying, I'm dying, I'm dying. This trustee ate that cheese, and he died that night, yelling for help in his cell block, because he was a trustee delivering the food, and he ate that cheese, and he died. Good thing I didn't eat that cheese because I don't eat cheese.
Right. So obviously they were trying to take you out. You were being targeted for assassination. Eventually you got out. We don't have time for the full story here. I mean, but people can read the full account in Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat, which is something like over 500 pages. But you got out with the assistance of Israeli Prime Minister Yitzhak Rabin.
Yitzhak Rabin sent a letter to the government of Switzerland. If ambassador once it wasn't released immediately, they were going to attack the prison. And he was serious, because I had some contracts with President Reagan and is also a paramount leader of the 1992 Peace Accord, and I'm funding the 1992 Peace Accord between the United States and Deng Xiaoping, and I was honored to do that. But I went to a Jewish high school in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, so that we're all buddies.
And so you're taken out of the Swiss prison. You're flown to the United States. As soon as you get off the plane, you find yourself in a New York courtroom. Correct?
Correct. I get immediately arrested when I got to the airport. They had my luggage with them, wasn't aware, because they threw me out of the prison because Deng Xiaoping was coming to attack. So I get stuck into a New York. First, the police pick me up. Then they take me to court. And then in court, the judges ask me why I had $16 billion on me. And I want to talk to her about it. And the U.S. Department of Justice, he's an attorney, assistant attorney general, U.S. Department of Justice. And he's yelling at the judge, "Ambassador wants his freedom to go. The ambassador wants his freedom to go. Wisconsin made an error. Ambassador is free to go." And she says, "I still want to know why he's got $16 billion on in my luggage." And I was starting to walk up to her bench so I can explain why he had $16 billion on me. And then he's still screaming. And then the federal guards in the courthouse, they take me out of the building. So I never got released. He ordered her to dismiss all my charges. They were bogus. The state of Wisconsin was lying to her, and she didn't know what to do, but she still wanted to know why I had $16 billion. So she was, on the order of the U.S. Department of Justice, dismissed all the charges in Wisconsin. They were BS, and she knew they were BS.
If I could get Lon to jump in here. Lon, these charges from Wisconsin, what is this referring to?
Yeah, those charges, by the way, have been restricted. We recently were able to get the copy of those, and of course they're on the website.
Okay, again, Lon, you're breaking up. If you're on a cordless phone, if you could, yeah.
His charges were released based on the documents that we were able to get. They were restricted documents, but they are available through the Freedom of Information Act. And his case, and he was dismissed because the federal government, under Magistrate Alan Ross, signed his release. So Lee walked out the door.
No, but what were the charges? Well, you say they were dismissed, but we don't know what those charges were.
The charges that they were trying to get were from the state of Wisconsin. They had filed charges that they wanted Lee extradited to Wisconsin to face some civil related tax liabilities that they felt Lee owed. And because Lee was out of the country, he was actually living in Austria, but they were trying to get him to Wisconsin so that they could, collect on some what they believed some tax.
So again, these were trumped up charges, and this is why he was held immediately when he got off the plane in New York, and this judge, this case was dismissed. But she was very curious as to why he had $16 billion in his briefcase. He was willing to,
in
treasury notes, right, treasury notes. He was willing to tell her because he thought she might be interested, but the other official there didn't want any of this leaked out, so he quickly ushered Lee out of the courtroom.
That is correct. And then immediately Lee walks out and was arrested by the New York City police, who were in collusion with the state of Wisconsin under Governor Tommy Thompson to arrest Lee. So he was stuck in New York City, down underground in an area that there was no communication for a period of about 17 to 18 days.
And then from there, he's taken to Wisconsin.
Yes.
All right.
And they took his briefcase. And by the way, I just recently was able to receive the documents that said what was in his briefcase, because there's a warrant where they have to give him back his property. They have not returned his property to him. His briefcase, and they didn't allow his briefcase to be used in the case against him, which had all of the proof of who he was. It had his passport in there. It had his medal that he received from President Reagan for saving his life, an assassination attempt that nobody's aware of yet until the story about it. And all of his personal belongings, his business papers, they're still itemized on a document, which I gave you, Richard. Do you have a copy of it?
Yes. And this is the interesting aspect of this, is the documentation. Yes, it sounds like a fantasy, this story. However, you reproduce court documents in the book or on, in the electronic version as well that's available to people in Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. All the documents, the court documents, everything that you're saying now is backed up by court documents.
That's correct. And that's why the, you know, it, the online version of the book, of course, has all of the links, and you can get them, the documents right off Eagle One to Wanta, the website, Eagle One to Wanta. Or if you buy the book, the paperback version has a disc in it. We decided to put a disc in there so that all the documents, you can read it for yourself if you don't believe it. There's a lot of skeptics that say, oh, yeah, right. Well, read the documents. Find out for yourself. We backed them up. And a disc that comes with the 538-page paperback book.
Wanta, Black Swan, White Hat. The electronic version is available through GibbyMediaGroup.com.
That's
is that right?
Correct.
It's just
GibbyMedia.com.
GibbyMedia.com. We've linked up to that on Coast to Coast AM. And if you want the paperback, you can go to Amazon or
Noble. The electronic version on Amazon also iBooks. And Barnes & Noble. That's electronic. If you want the paperback, it's GibbyMedia.com.
Got it. Okay, sorry about the confusion there. So if you want the paperback, you go to GibbyMedia.com. If you want the electronic version, you go through Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Now, Lee, all of this, the kidnapping, the false imprisonment, this was all being done in order to get you to reveal the location, what the bank, the numbers, the account numbers for where all this money was. Is that the idea?
Right. The state of Wisconsin made me an offer on the Elkhorn plea, they call it, the Elkhorn plea. If I go take them to all of my banks and release the money to them, I'm free to go. So they're holding the guns in my head. Give us, you know, a couple of $1 trillion here and there, which is a lot of trillions, a tremendous amount more than you can imagine. And I refuse it because under the Elkhorn plea, I don't even live in Wisconsin. I haven't lived in Wisconsin for 2 years. I'm not a resident of Wisconsin. I used to be a deputy sheriff in Wisconsin and was a peace officer in Wisconsin. That's how President Reagan found me and sent me out to Europe so we don't have any problems with wars by the state of the United States. Because if I stayed in the United States, it would be an act of war by the United States. So they
all right.
Austria was independent and neutral.
How did you save Reagan's life? You prevented another assassination attempt that we're not aware of. How was that?
Oh, that was really strange. I had a lot of friends on my travels. An African chief called me and said that people were in his office. They stayed there for a couple of days. They're loading up right now. They're going to the White House to assassinate President Reagan. So he called me. I called Glenn Speedy at the Secret Service with my codes, and I ordered Glenn Speedy to get him out of the White House immediately and build a case of the customs was backing me up, too. So I had to use my security codes from President Reagan to order the Secret Service to pull him out of the White House to Camp David now, not tomorrow, now. With my codes, they took him out of the White House immediately to Fort Davis for protection because they didn't believe, you know, just a stranger, but I was no stranger with the codes and my authority working for President Reagan as a secret agent. So they took him out. He went to Fort David, Camp David, and he was safe. And then at the same time, the gentleman, the African chief that told me about this, he was in his office where the Secret Service went to protect him. He seen them all barging in with their helmets on and every other machine gun. He was hiding in the broom closet. And he wet the floor. He was so nervous that they were coming to arrest him or something. But I told him to get over there and save him because he's a witness. Because they were forced him to stay in his office in that area. And Glenn Speedy of the Secret Service took my word for it, plus my security codes. And he called the White House and he took President Reagan out immediately and gave me a presidential merit and built a case of customs. And Glenn Speedy of the Secret Service called me a couple weeks later. USOB, you got a Medal of America. All we got is a wooden plaque. Is there, you big babies? Because,
you know, all right. Now,
they wanted a medal too, and I got the Presidential Medal of America. And Judge Torpy, who was hearing my case in Madison, where I never belonged, I haven't lived in Madison for a couple of years, He says, I can get this in any pawn shop. I said, yeah, you can get a presidential medal from Reagan in any pawn shop. What a, he's telling that to the jury. What a jerk.
Hey, all right. Richard, the trial that Lee had in Wisconsin, I would be compared to Dukes of Hazzard. It was a comedy, and we have the transcripts from it. And the way that Lee was treated, he had no representation. He had no his human rights. His rights were completely taken away. And they did everything they could to suppress his story. I've never seen any kind of cover up. You couldn't have written a story or novel about this cover up the way it was handled. It was unbelievable.
So all this is being done, the kidnappings, yeah. the attempted assassination. They and we'll discuss a little bit about who they are. They took out your partner Howie Kwok. Is that right? He was murdered.
Yeah, right after Howie Kwok told Bush he was in court, he wasn't going to pay her any money. Bush wanted, we had $864 billion in naked credit. He ordered Howie to give him half of that, and Howie told him he was a couple of bad names and he wasn't going to give him a dime. And then Bush looked at me and said, "I don't report to you, George." And then he got mad at me. 2 days later, he died of rat poison. I went to the hospital because I was still in Singapore with Howie. And I went to the hospital. He was just blowing all kinds of blood out of his mouth and baptized in his own blood because we're blood brothers. I'm a Catholic lay minister. And it was sad because you can't just come in there and think that you own a nickel credit deal. You're the former president of the United States. And Howie, being a Chinese warlord's son, told him he was a couple of bad names and told him he wasn't going to give him a dime. And then George looked at me and said, "I'm not giving you any money. I don't work for you. I don't care what you say." And so it's another reason that George, and his real name is Scherf. He's an actor. George Herbert Walker Bush is a member of the Scherf family. He is not a Bush. And he had no right to run. He's an actor. It's like Sotaro.
Well, that leads me to this next question. That leads me to the next question. And we just have a couple of minutes here. So if you could tell the story as quickly and succinctly as you can. You argue that President Reagan is, or was, the last duly elected president. Explain.
That is correct.
All right, explain how that works.
Well, because he won the election for fairly, and Al Gore ran for election. He won, but he never took the job, so it was a vacancy. And everybody from Reagan not being replaced as the last duly elected president, all these acts and laws and all this trash and these problems that Trump is having now, they mean nothing because Gore didn't take the job, so the vacancy continues. Because Reagan was the last duly elected president of the United States by the American people.
But you say that George Herbert Walker Bush wasn't entitled, even though he was elected, you say he wasn't eligible because of Prescott Bush.
Bush is a phony, but his name is George Herbert Walker Bush is a phony. That's an actor's name. He had to tell the people he was. His real name is Scherf. He never said that. And there was
right. Lon, isn't the argument here that because Prescott Bush was charged with trading under the Trading with the Enemy Act during World War II, there was some sort of a plea bargain. I don't know if this is true, but the idea is that all future Bushes were prohibited from holding public office.
That's what I understand from the material I have read, and Prescott Bush was he was in trouble because he was in the banking industry was making money on both sides. He was working with the Nazis as well as working with the Americans. So he was like a lot of these folks do, they benefit from both sides.
Okay, Lon, we're going to take a time out. We'll open up the phone lines and continue to delve into this amazing story, find out what's happening with the $31.2 trillion. NASA's planet-hunting Kepler spacecraft has witnessed the remains of an ancient star thirstily draining material from its giant celestial companion in a remarkable interaction known as a super outburst. The star system consists of a white dwarf star with a brown dwarf companion that's roughly 10% the size of its rapacious neighbor. White dwarfs are what stars become when they've exhausted their nuclear fuel, while brown dwarfs are huge celestial bodies that are larger than the largest planets but smaller than the smallest stars. The extraordinary event was identified by researchers mining data from the retired Kepler probe, which has scanned space in search of Earth-sized planets and orbiting stars. That's in the news section up at coasttocoastam.com. Your phone calls for Lee Wanta when Coast to Coast AM continues. Lee Wanta, Ambassador Lee Wanta, Ronald Reagan's secret agent, and his spokesperson, Lon Gibby, are with us. Maybe, Lon, I get you to field this question, and that is, what is the status of this $31.2 trillion? How close is Lee to repatriating it, if I can use that term, bringing it on home so it can be used for the benefit of the American people?
Right now, that those funds still exist, and they are in Lee's name at the World Bank. And there are a lot of people that are trying to get, they're worth a lot more than $37 trillion at this point, if you can imagine, after so many years.
So again, Lon, your phone is starting to crackle, so if you could keep your head very still.
Yeah, I'll get this mic a little closer here. So we're hopeful those funds should be released in Lee's name. There's a lot of people trying to get control of it, as you can imagine. Remember that corruption knows no political boundaries of party, age, race, or color, or gender. There's corruption in both parties. And so these funds, unfortunately, there's been a lot of people trying to hold up the release of those funds for a number of reasons. But when they are, Lee wants to pay his taxes, repatriate the money here in the United States, you know, take care of our national debt, and have the funds go to helping veterans, doing all the projects that we talked about earlier, such as the infrastructure.
All right. Let's go to the wild card line. Barry is in South Carolina. Barry, welcome to Coast AM.
Hi, Richard. Good show, buddy. No kidding. And listen, my question for Lee is, does he feel like Vince Foster, who worked for Bill Clinton, truly committed suicide in a national park? Or do they think, maybe like I do, that Vince Foster was murdered?
Go ahead, Lee. Vince Foster, your thoughts?
The sad thing about it, I really respected Vince. Nobody shoots himself twice in the back of the head. Nobody. I used to be a paramedic. People don't do that.
All right, enough said. Thank you for that, Barry. Michael is in Virginia Beach. Hello, Michael. Good morning.
Hello, and my apologies to you, Richard, and to you, Ambassador Wanta, for my first discussion with you when you first appeared on Coast to Coast. I was very rude at that time because it did seem like an unbelievable story. I believe you now. And I will help you. I will go through five members of the United States Senate who I know are very interested in helping you. And I think it's going to take an act of Congress to get these rascals off your back. So we will be working very diligently in that direction. I give you my word of honor. Thank you, and
thank you, and God bless you.
All right, Michael, thank you. I mean, do you have friends on Capitol Hill that know about this and that are working to that end, to repatriate this money? Lee or Lon, either of you. Any friends on Capitol Hill?
I could answer the question that yes to that question as far as identifying the exact people they are. Former President Al Gore, for example, when we call him president, meaning that his election was stolen, he knows about Lee's situation and saved his life before. There's many congressmen and as well as senators that are aware, just as that gentleman said, know exactly who Lee is. And the problem is that they're under severe pressure not to. This has been obstructed history. As I said, I call it obstructed history. It's been covered up. And so hopefully a lot of them will step up to the plate. You know, under Title 18, if they know a crime's been committed, they have the obligation of stepping up and telling the truth. So we're hopeful that they will.
All right. Let's say hi to Jeff in Santa Rosa, California. Jeff, good morning. Welcome to Coast AM.
Good morning, and happy 2020 to all you guys.
Thank you.
Mr. Warner, you're welcome. I have a question for you. I don't understand. Well, first I want to say that all those guys that have been giving you trouble, I think they all ought to be lined up on a wall, and everybody should be throwing rotten tomatoes and cabbages at them from every garden in the United States of America. And my question about Ronald Reagan, you made a comment about it before the break, that he was the last duly elected president of the United States, and that the office of the president has been vacant since then. And I was wondering if you could elaborate on that a little bit, because I don't quite understand how that can be.
Okay, if I will. First of all, President Reagan was the last duly elected president because Al Gore ran for president of the United States. They changed all the accounts, so he never took office. And the Supreme Court appointed Bush or Schiff. So none of these guys are really legitimate because Al Gore actually had the majority of the votes. And they twisted everything around that he got dumped on. So therefore, from that point on, unless you put Gore into that position that he was elected for, everything is null and void. It's a violation of a constitutional republic. We are a constitutional republic.
You know, going back to the 1992 election, too, Lee, remind him that that was a rigged election. You know, that the Clintons took office with less than like 41 or 42% of the vote.
Well, popular vote, yeah, but that's not how it works. We know it works with the Electoral College.
Right. Right. That particular election, there's some evidence that hasn't been released fully to the public. But anyway, that election, and then you go on to the Obama's election, and the question is, was Obama duly elected, or did he qualify as a non-citizen of our country to be president? And that's
well, that, I mean, that's those are all speculations, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're, you know, that's okay. Let's leave that there for now, and another show. But let me just ask you this.
It's not a speculation. It's a fact. His real name is Sotaro. His brother just said in the last couple of weeks that he was born in Kenya. His last name is Sotaro. He's not what he says he is. He's an actor. And that doesn't qualify as the president of the United States.
All right. Does Donald Trump know about you, Lee? Is he aware of this money? And is he an ally or a foe in this?
I can't understand him at all. I sent him a tremendous amount of paperwork and memos. He knows the truth, but he fails to do it. It's like he's being handled by a bunch of handlers. And that scares me because we had a guy over here admit me, his name is Steele. He offered me $1 billion for pending. He gave me a red hat from Trump and a flag from Trump. That they would get me $1 billion to take a walk and never come back. I'm not giving up this money. I have a mandate. I have a number of things that President Reagan wanted done. All the national debt obligation would be paid. The veterans and student loans, rebuild our country. I'm not walking away for $1 billion or even $50 billion. This money was earned by New Republic USA Financial Group in Austria. It belongs there. Trump is not going to allow me to pay my repatriation. The two federal judges ordered me to pay at 35%. The money will be returned to New Republic USA Financial Group in Austria, where it was made from, because that's why we were in Austria. So we don't have an active war. So if Trump doesn't understand right from wrong, I can't help him.
All right.
And again, it can't be confirmed that gentleman was really sent from Trump's office. There's been a lot of communication that there's no way to really tell because of the gatekeepers. You know, a lot of the people that surround President Trump are from past administrations, Clinton and Bush administrations, and so it's very difficult to know whether he's getting how much he really does know and understand about the whole situation.
All right, let's go east of the Rockies. Jack is in Erie, Pennsylvania. Jack, good morning. Welcome to Coast.
I think on these kinds of programs sometimes there is a kind of implicit assumption, and I think a very garbage-in, garbage-out false assumption, that any of these acts are based on the United States being the virtuous good guy, the innocent angel, motivated by the betterment of humanity. But I think if you look at some alternate sources rather than the controlled media in this country, like Global Research or Information Clearinghouse, which includes a lot of people, dissidents from the CIA and the deep state government who got disgusted with the lies that we've been brainwashed with. It turns out that if you reverse that that pejorative, the evil empire, I think, would apply to the U.S. empire. And there's a very good article called Gladio Northwood's Crimes of the U.S. Empire, which shows that in so many of these cases, for instance, Zbigniew Brzezinski, the top elitist of the Trilateral Commission, when he was the very influential, really, man behind the scenes in the Carter administration, sent billions of dollars, the latest missiles and other aid to a pack of Mujahideen terrorists.
Okay, Jack, I know you've sort of reiterated this every time you call, and I get it, where you're coming from, but that we're kind of drifting afield here. We're talking about what Lee Wanta did in his efforts to bring down the Soviet Union. Let me ask you, Lee, and you know, I wish you a long and healthy life, obviously, but you are getting on in years. What's going to happen to that $31.2 trillion, you know, many, 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 many years from now, I hope, when you're no longer with us, if it doesn't get repatriated?
I think then our American citizens, our fellow Americans, are going to be raped. Because I can't help them. I've been trying. I've been telling everybody that this money has got to be back to the New Republic, which made the money, so it's not an act of war against the Soviet Union. And these politicians are craziness because they're the ones that told Paulson he can convert the money. So I won't trust anybody in our House or in the Senate because they knew this money belonged to me. It belonged to New Republic. And I had a list of things under President Reagan to take care of. And I'm willing to do that. But they want me dead so they can hide all the money and the people will get absolutely zero or their buddies will get the money. There are no buddies. All fellow Americans, Reagan believes in it. So do I.
So, Lon, the missing briefcase that was taken when he, I guess, was either imprisoned falsely in Wisconsin or in New York that contained $16 billion in, I guess, Treasury notes or treasury bills in his name. Do we know the whereabouts of that briefcase?
Well, the last whereabouts of it is the warrant that you have a copy of, which I sent you, which we finally got a copy of, that hadn't been available up until recently. And that shows that the state of Wisconsin that was the last person to have it in their possession. So the state of Wisconsin has it. We've notified Governor Evers to please get involved and help get Lee's briefcase released back to him. He needs all of that. For one thing, it does give him the credibility that he needs. A lot of people don't know that he's an ambassador. They don't believe that he was. They don't believe that he did all these things. That briefcase.
Okay, Lon, again, we're losing your phone here. Lon, if you could get...
That briefcase contains the evidence.
Right,
that needs
right.
To come out. And so Governor Evers hopefully will return Lee's property back to him. It does not belong to anybody but Lee.
It seems to me like we're at an absolute stalemate. I mean, do you see, Lon, any resolution here?
I see a resolution if enough, you know, good people. We have a lot of really good people in our government. It's not all corrupt, but the good people that are out there need to stand up and be counted. And so if they will, you know, step forward and acknowledge who Lee is and make sure that this is made right, things can turn around very quickly if that can be done.
All right. What is the status? And again, if you could get closer to that phone because it's breaking up.
Okay.
What is the status of the documentary that you began 4 or 5 years ago, Eagle One to Wanta, which sort of lays out this whole story in documentary form?
The documentary, as you know, was held up in 2016. We had funding. The person that was funding it, he had a mysterious accident, slipped twice, and eventually took him out. So we had no funding for the documentary, but I've kept it going. And then keep working on it. And my small company has been really working hard to keep the story moving forward. We're expecting to get it out before the election. It has to come out well before the election, if at all possible, so that people can understand, because this is the thread that ties everything together. A lot of the issues that are going on can be connected, tied in with this, with the everyone trying to get hold of these funds. The Federal Reserve, the Democrats, some corrupt Republicans involved, all of it has to come out before the election.
And again, the book, WANTA, Black Swan, White Hat, this is the 500-plus page authorized biography of Lee WANTA. There's an electronic version they can get at Amazon, and this has all of these court documents reproduced as well, correct?
That's correct. And then if they want the paperback version, it's a little more. It's 538-page paperback book, very thick, but has a disc with it that has all the backup documents, and including the audio from former Governor Don Sundquist when he was trying, him and a South Dakota senator were trying to extort money out of Lee. And that recording is on there as well.
You have a voice recording, a telephone recording of the former governor and a senator trying to extort money from Ambassador WANTA on tape.
That's correct. You can read it right now on Eagle One to WANTA. And by the way, that's spelled out Eagle One to WANTA, just like the words. On chapter 17, it's on the homepage. That's the last chapter in Lee's book that he asked me to write and include kind of a summary of everything. That has that recording and the story behind it. And you can listen to it right now. It's 6 minutes, unedited. You'll be shocked when you hear it.
All right.
There hasn't been any congressman that stepped up to the plate to take care of this and get this resolved.
EagleOneToWANTA.com. Lee WANTA and Lon Gibby, thank you so much for this update. Appreciate your time.
You're welcome. Thank you so much, Richard, for the time you've given
All right.
me tonight.
Thank you.
Thank you, and God bless you and your family.
Thank you, Ambassador. All right, when we come back, Richard Todd, the author of the Time Tunnel series of novels, will join us to talk about, well, what else? Time travel.